This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony was the place we'd meet. Second seat, gold Dutch treat. You were sweet, dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Save those lies, darling, don't explain. I recall Central Park in fall, how you tore your dress, what a mess. I confess, that's not all. Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Wayne Newton when he had a high-pitched voice. Way, way back. Nobody knew at that point that he would become, I think, the biggest star of all time in Las Vegas. If you believe number of people that have actually attended programs. I mean, he actually had his own, virtually his own building in Las Vegas. You know, he had his own place where he would entertain. Ah, good old Wayne Newton. I wonder if he's still singing. I don't know that he is, but doesn't need to with all the money he made. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. It is Friday, May the 14th already. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Brent Skorup of George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And we're going to talk about something called broadband vouchers. You might not have heard about it. They would provide internet service to underserved Americans. The question is whether or not the government should be involved in that. So we're going to talk with Brent, find out a little bit more about it. Then, later in the show, is the Pentagon spying on Americans without a warrant? Are they using all of that technology in the sky? Because now they can hone in. I think they can pretty much hone in on, they can look at, if you're reading your cell phone, they can hone in and read the words on the cell phone that you're reading. So we're going to look into that. And in fact, one Democratic senator believes the Pentagon is doing that. So we're going to get some thoughts about this and some other things as well from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And what do you think about teaching systemic racism in schools to young kids? White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says teaching those kinds of things is the responsible thing to do. It's responsible, right? We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, I don't know if you're a barbecue fan, but if you are, in the United States, we've got the top 10 best cities to go to if you want really good barbecue. And I think some of these cities will surprise you. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by what I contend is the best barbershop for men in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's located in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. All right. And also, while we're on it, talking about good things, I hope you listen to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network, because Paul and Tracy Allen, they check into things. They give you all these tidbits. So start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. Good Morning Clearwater. They are a great duo. All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this with our buddy Andrew later. But this thing about the Pentagon, I mean, aren't they in trouble enough, the military, for all of the things we've been doing or not doing? The Pentagon is carrying out warrantless surveillance of Americans, according to Senator Ron Wyden. Wyden's office has asked the Department of Defense, which includes such agencies as the NSA, the National Security Agency, and the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, for detailed information about its purchasing of data, how they get it. There's an organization, I guess, it's called Motherboard. They have been talking or revealing special forces were buying location data. Buying location data. The responses also touched on military or intelligence use of internet browsing and other types of data. So it's prompted Wyden to demand more answers. In other words, how much is our Pentagon looking into our personal affairs? And do they have a right to do it? We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. You know, these days, since the internet in particular, those of you old enough to remember before the internet, privacy was something that was really valued. You never opened other people's mail, as an example, and read it, right? It was their mail. Even inside of your family, you wouldn't do it. If you were caught listening on the telephone to somebody's conversation, that was considered a bad deal. We knew that the FBI would tap phones of people they suspected to be criminals, but they had to go and get a warrant for that. You know, things were a lot easier. Now, with the internet, it's so easy to figure out who's watching and listening and all that stuff, you know? We'll never get that back. We'll never get back the privacy that we had. And we all kind of understand that. But now is the, are we allowing the Pentagon, which is supposed to be looking out and, for our borders, you know, for outside threats, really. They're supposed to deal with outside threats. Are they looking in on our stuff? What we're watching on the internet, on television, what we're reading, what we're texting, our emails? I don't know. Makes me feel a little bit queasy, if that's the case. But we're kind of getting used to it, right? I mean, that story I just talked about probably doesn't give people much of a ripple anymore. I think we've come to believe that that's what's going on. So there you go. All right, now, there is some talk among Republicans that this mask ditching announcement by the White House, you know, they now say the people who are fully vaccinated no longer need to wear masks while indoors or outdoors or even physical distance, right? And I guess even old Biden walked up to the microphone without his mask. That took real courage. So they bring that out. And now the Republicans are saying, you know why they brought it out? Some Republicans. They said this is something they're doing to so that we won't focus on all of the other crises that are going on in the Biden administration. Biden has faced intense pressure on both sides of the aisle for decisive action amid that escalating Israeli Hamas, which it's turning into a war, right? They're shooting missiles at each other, aren't they? Now, where's Biden going to stand? He's got a faction of the Democrats that are clearly pro-Palestinian, right? The AOC group. What is that one name? Ilhan Omar? She's very much pro-Palestinian. AOC is pro-Palestinian. And Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders does not like what Israel is doing. I think Israel is probably defending itself. That's what they're doing. Biden typically used to be on the side of Israel in all of this stuff, going way, way back. God knows how much money he probably got from the Israeli lobby over the years. But now, you don't. Do you hear him coming out and forcefully defending Israel?
Well, yesterday he said, we naturally stand behind Israel. They have the right to defend themselves, but we hope that cooler heads prevail.
You didn't sound too enthusiastic about it.
Well, it's just like the masks. Take the masks off.
Yeah.
Shake somebody's hand. Give them a hug.
You know, you sound really do sound like them.
Give them a hug. Sniff the back of their hair. Good old times are back.
Oh, goodness me. So, anyway, I think we have to take our break. Remind me to take you along. We're going to do some stand-up comedy. I'll use you as my Biden guy. We'll be back, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Brent Skorup.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back here on Freedom Works. Delighted to have Brent Skorup join us. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And we're going to talk a little bit about an idea that he's proposed. Broadband vouchers to help provide internet service for a lot of underserved people in our country, maybe almost 20 million. Brent, tell us a little bit about why we should have the government involved in a voucher program for Americans for internet service.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure.
There's a few reasons. One is to improve what we're already doing. I think a lot of people will be surprised to learn how much the federal government has spent on rural telecommunications over the past 25 years. It's over $100 billion. It doesn't feel like that,
no,
frankly, in much of the nation. So my paper that I released with a colleague, Michael Kutros, we talk about improving what the federal government currently does, which is disperse $7 billion or several billion dollars, about $5 billion annually to rural areas, but it's not done particularly well. There's huge disparities between states. It's not clear how many people are benefiting, and in the best case scenario, the federal government is subsidizing monopolists. That's the purpose of these programs, is to identify those markets where there's one or zero providers and subsidize them to make service economical. But I believe vouchers are a much better way, so you're not subsidizing monopolists, so that you don't have these huge disparities, and you have a much simpler program.
Yeah. You know, we all, especially here on our program, believe in vouchers for educational purposes, and I think they do work. Providing vouchers to parents to allow them to choose the schools for their children, rather than shoving them all into public schools if indeed they don't have the funds to pay for a private school. I think we've all come to pretty much accept that. Would you use that same logic as to why the government could be involved in providing vouchers to underserved Americans?
Yeah, there are a lot of parallels. It empowers the consumer, the household, to purchase the broadband service of choice, much like school vouchers. It's a much simpler program. Instead of, you know, one example we point out in our study, to figure out how much subsidies disperse, the FCC, for one of their major programs, it took them about 2 years, about 12 versions in regulatory proceedings, hundreds of inputs go into these measurements, and it's all behind protective order. We can't see how they're dispersing it. It's private. So it's a big mess. And so to bring transparency and to empower consumers to pick the broadband provider of their choice, we think would be a major benefit.
Sure.
Obviously, there are analogs to school vouchers.
So I didn't realize there were that many people being deprived of internet services. Apparently, from your research, there is. You say something about almost 20 million people? It shocks me. Tell me, where are these pockets where people are underserved?
Yeah, well, I should point out, the vast majority, almost all Americans have some type of access. It might not be high-speed access. It might have DSL or satellite, which the FCC does not consider high-speed access. But, depending on which study you look at, FCC says 6%. Other studies say 13% of Americans don't have high-speed internet access.
Where is that? Are there pockets in this country, like way out in somewhere in rural Alaska, or where are these people?
Those kinds of places, very very rural areas where either typically people get high speed from either their cable broadband provider or from their phone provider, but there are some areas. But that's the other thing. The FCC's maps on these things are not particularly accurate, which leads to many of the problems I've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's disputed, and that's why I favor.
Well, 20 million people is a lot. 20 million people is that's more than a lot. That's more than most people have in a state. You're saying there's 20 million Americans being underserved?
According to government data, which
I find that one hard to believe. I really do. That doesn't sound right. But maybe it's true. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I want you to go ahead and tell us a little bit more about this. So how would this work? Would the government somehow selectively send out vouchers? Or how would you do this?
To simplify the mapping process, which has been a huge problem for federal agencies for the past 15 years, Congress told them to make a map of who's unserved, and it's been a huge problem getting accurate information. We say in our study, just use the census definition of rural, which is about 20 million households, and that just simplifies the process. Just give every household a voucher. Because presumably those are the higher
criteria. Every household that, not, you don't mean every household in the country.
No, every rural household, according to the census.
Every rural household.
Every rural household, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm still trying to figure out how you're going to determine where these people are, but go ahead.
So the census has a pretty consistent definition, and they actually have a map. So you could pull up the census map if someone wanted to today and see if you're included in the rural definition. But we say just to simplify it, use that definition. These are higher cost areas, and use the existing funds or a lesser amount and give a voucher to every eligible household.
Let me, first of all, we're talking with Brent Skorup, who has come up with an idea for broadband for underserved Americans, a voucher program. He's a research fellow at the Mercatus Center at the great George Mason University. rather than just sending out vouchers to people who might not need them, quite frankly. I mean, if you're just going by what amounts to a zip code or whatever, why not invite people to apply for the vouchers? And then once they send in their info as to their situation, you can actually, you know, sprinkle these vouchers out rather than just, I don't know, you know, missing so many and giving it to people that don't need it, as an example.
Yeah, that's right. That's to clarify, that's what we mean. There should be, if someone's not willing to sign up, yeah, they probably don't want it very much. So
right.
It would resemble what we currently do for low-income households, which do get a federal voucher, essentially, every month. But even that program, there's only 20% or so participation, so most people won't even sign up, and I expect you'd see a similar phenomenon with rural households, many who don't want it, don't need it, don't want to.
Yeah, they don't even want to open up a computer, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, right. So mm-hmm. I think we could serve every household that wanted it in a high cost in an expensive area, and save the federal government a lot of money. It would just be a simpler program, and more rural households would actually benefit because of how this is structured.
Sure. Now, have you approached the government about this, or anybody in the government with this idea?
Yeah, we released the paper last fall, and it's had a tremendous amount of attention from federal and state lawmakers, and actually, particularly on state level, states like the idea because they can't get their heads around the federal programs, because there are 11 or so of these sub programs, rural broadband programs, at the FCC alone. There are others in other agencies. And so states want to match. You know, if rural households received a voucher, states could match it very easily and help their rural populations. So there's been a lot of attention. Even this week, I've been in contact with state and federal lawmakers on this. So we'll see where it goes. You know, it's hard to reform any 25-year-old program, but I'm pleased the idea is circulating and getting attention.
Yeah, I salute you for this idea. I just, as I say, didn't realize that there are that many people that are deprived of it. Pretty much thought that everybody's got it, but that certainly cannot always be the case. I mean, these days, if you have a computer and you subscribe to a provider, et cetera, I guess that money can run up. It can go up, especially when you got to pay for other things like cable TV and everything else. I guess it can go up to a couple $100 a month, right?
Yeah, yeah, it adds up.
It does.
I should add again. I mean, I should clarify again. I mean, they might have some service. It might be low speed, or they might have only one option. So these are people who have only one option or zero option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that they could, if they took the voucher, a certain amount of money, they could then just contact a provider on their own. Is that it? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, so part of the model, actually the United Kingdom has been doing this for a few years, and it's a pretty popular program. You receive a digital coupon, a code, and mm-hmm. when you purchase broadband, you enter that code, and that discount is built into your monthly payment. And so they're doing it that way in the U.K.
For everybody in the U.K. or just for certain people that are deprived?
Rural areas that have that have no high-speed options.
Okay. Is that where you got some of this for an idea?
The idea has circulated for a while, frankly. But I think we're at the stage where enough people, as you say, have service that we're not dealing with the problems we were 25 years ago, where we were dealing with the fact that we still had the legacy of the AT&T phone monopoly, and where many people only did have one telecom service. But today, that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Most people have several providers, if you include cable and satellite and fixed wireless options. Cellular, many people are using cellular hotspots for their home broadband. And so it's just a different world than it was 25 years ago, but these programs have not unsurprisingly, been able to keep up with the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Brent. I think it's a very novel idea. Let's see where it goes. Thank you very much for your time on this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Brent Skorup, Mercatus Center, George Mason University. All right, let us take our break. I can't wait to talk to the proprietor of the barber pole about these things like the Pentagon spying. We got all kinds of things going on with oil pipeline ransom payoffs. We'll be back on that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Wow, this month is moving by very quickly. We're already halfway through May. My goodness me. By the way, retail sales in America, flat as a pancake last month, after being flying high in March. When many people receive those stimulus checks. Apparently, they must have spent their money all in March. They weren't spending it as much last month, apparently. Report from the Commerce Department. Worse than the 0.8% growth that Wall Street analysts had expected. You know, I am a little bit worried about two things. I'm worried about the stock market and inflation right now. I really am. I'm wondering, with Biden, who I don't know, he's spending like a drunken sailor is an affront to the drunken sailor. That's how much I don't think he knows what he's doing with all this spending. I don't think he's, of course, I don't even think he's, I think he's more of a marionette, you know, with other people making these decisions. Anyway, we have the proprietor of the barber pole, a huge Joe Biden fan with us, and so, Andrew, apparently I want to talk a little bit about this pipeline situation, because Joe Biden apparently won't tell anybody if he knew that the pipeline people at Colonial Pipeline apparently paid $4 to $5 million to get their stuff working again. And Biden, when they asked him about it, he said, no comment. Why would he do that?
Because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. He should have said, what? A pipeline was hacked?
You know, Paul, they paid them $5 million to get them back running up. They could have gave me $1 million. I would have gone there with a wrench and
yes,
myself.
I'd go with you.
No problem.
I know.
This is a bunch of bah humbug baloney. You know that.
Well, I don't know that it's bah humbug. They somehow gotten into the computer system. You can imagine.
So you unplug the computer and get the wrench. Come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And this was all caused everything to get away, distractions from everything that's going on.
Yeah.
The more distractions that there are, the more divided you can keep the people because they're just worried about getting their gas.
I think you're right about that.
It's ridiculous, Paul. You know it and I know it.
Have you seen any lines of people lining up at any gas stations? I have not, but...
Well, my buddy ran out of gas the other day at his gas station. He said, Andrew, I put my order in at 6 this morning. He had it by 2 in the afternoon.
He did. So have people... I just noticed Ed was nodding his head. Ed, have you seen people lining up for gas? And are gas stations running out from what you've seen?
Locally, I haven't seen anything, but on TV, I've seen that Washington, D.C. is the hardest hit right now. 70% are out of gas.
Yeah, I knew up. Go ahead.
Filling up too many plastic bags with the gasoline.
Yeah.
Filling up the freaking plastic bags.
Can you imagine?
Those are 50-gallon bags they're filling up with that gasoline. That's two gas tanks in your car.
Check this visual. You put all these bags in the back seat, then you light up a cigarette.
Well, I don't understand.
Oh,
those bags probably lasted about 20 minutes because the gasoline is a solvent that eats right through that.
Of course.
You got to have, I believe it's polyethylene.
Yeah.
Polyethylene Crazy. Or polyurethane plastic that the gas won't eat through. Or, you know, it's one of them.
Oh, my God.
Plastic bags aren't made of it, believe me.
Yeah, the good old days you were able to use the milk jugs, old milk jugs.
There you go. Yeah.
No, it'll eat through the milk jugs, too.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll eat through them, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the Biden voters.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the Biden voters that were doing that. They're educated to certain things.
So Biden told us we can all go around if we've been vaccinated, take off our masks. He was very courageous. I saw him walk up to the lectern without his mask, unless he lost it. And he said that, now we can start to be... They're still not completely over the mask thing, though, right? You still got to wear a mask.
He's got a new name, you know.
What's that?
It's Sippy Cup Biden.
Sippy Cup?
Sippy Cup. Yeah, Sippy Cup Biden. They say they caught him using a Sippy Cup with his milk and cookies the other night.
Oh! At 7 o'clock. It's like, now I see what you mean. You mean like those little baby cups where you won't spill it.
Yeah, the Sippy Cups. Yeah.
Sippy Cups.
Yes. You know, Paul, what I haven't heard?
What?
I've been waiting to hear this. You know how the Palestinians launched 1,000 rockets over to Israel the other day?
Hamas, yes.
I still haven't heard if the Palestinians are still on the map or not yet. Because when Israel gets done with them, I don't think there's going to be too much left.
Well, if they really wanted to, they could wipe out the Gaza.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? And, of course, they're launching... They're launching these rockets from civilian areas. They're launching these rockets. They don't go out in some area where there's no civilian... They launch them from civilian areas, right, thinking that
they're using the civilians as shields.
They are.
But you know what? The Israelis are so precise in what they're knocking off. They're not even, for all the damage they're going to be doing so far, only 50 civilians got killed.
That's pretty good. They got that thing called Iron Dome. You know, I'll tell you one thing about Israel. They are on their toes, and they are smart. And they develop technology. I'll tell you what, if I ever wanted to go somewhere and get some real help when it comes to technology, I think the first place I'd think about would be Israel.
Now, those aren't the Patriot missiles they were using? With their Iron Dome?
I don't know, but it's working, isn't it, pretty much?
The Patriot missiles, and I think they are. You know where those are made, don't you?
China? No, I'm just kidding.
I believe they're
made here.
Over here in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, Patriot missiles. I would think so.
I can't think of the name. I'm having a brain fart.
Oh, that's all right.
Honeywell?
He's right here in Florida.
Oh, you mean like a Honeywell? Is that what you're thinking?
Honeywell, there you go.
Honeywell, there you go.
Patriot. I know, because one of my buddies makes them. He said, I love building bombs. I went to school with
him. He loves them?
He loves building bombs. He says he's been doing it now for 20 years.
That reminds me of, you remember Apocalypse Now? I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Do you remember that famous line?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Kamala Harris has gone 51 days without a news conference. That's number one. She's gone more than that without ever going to, in fact, she's probably never visited the southern border, yet she is our border czar. Nancy Pelosi, another favorite of yours, Andrew, Pelosi said she has confidence in Kamala's ability to address the root causes of the border crisis. crisis. Well, her definition of solving the crisis, Kamala, is to send bucket loads of money down to El Salvador and Nicaragua.
Well, you know, they have a picture of her the other day coming out of one of the big department stores with about 10 bags. She was shopping.
Was she shoplifting?
I don't know. She was all in bags. I think she had the receipt in her hand. It's probably spending her stimulus money.
Ah, but, I see.
They had her coming out of the store. She had about 5 big shopping bags with a big smile on her face.
Yeah.
She's busy shopping. Leave her alone.
She's too busy to go down to the border.
But, you know, Paul, I'm still not hearing these Biden voters backing up the good that Mr. Biden is doing.
What is the good that Mr. Biden is doing?
I've been listening to the voice of treason now, and nobody is telling me what is going on.
It's the voice of reason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's pretty good, though, the voice of treason.
I made a mistake.
Well,
I'm getting old, Paul. So
No. Go ahead.
But, you know, I'm waiting to hear. I'm going to put that show on Thursday because somebody has got to tell me what good he has done so far. I mean, because I haven't seen any. I want to know what he has done that has been good, other than saying you could take your mask off now.
Let's ask Ed. I'd hate to put
Ed
in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, they actually addressed that yesterday.
What did they say, Ed?
I think because I had said something earlier in the day. One of the things was, well, just seeing the federal employees now have to wear masks. And my response to that was, yeah, but you're allowing a bunch of illegals into the country without masks. So what's the difference?
What did they say?
Well, I didn't get a response.
They called Biden yesterday and told him to take the masks off so it's even.
And one of the things that did not happen, just like the Biden administration, they did not address the border issue.
Right.
Of course, the vaccines are going great. That he's distributing the vaccines. Oh, and the stimulus money that he sent out, too.
Yeah.
Which they didn't bring up that only 9% of that money went to Americans.
Now, we like those two guys that run the program. I'm going to say that right now. They are very nice people.
I like them.
They're generous people, too. I'm going to tell you that. So this is not a personal thing.
No.
But we just don't agree on their thoughts about it. And I would like to hear them respond to list a bunch of things that Biden himself has done. He can't claim credit for the vaccine. We know that because that was developed under Trump.
Right.
He shut down the pipeline, I believe, on day one, the Keystone Pipeline. How has that helped us? That means that we are now shipping more oil in trucks.
We're saving the planet.
By shipping more oil in trucks and on rail cars. That's even more dangerous for the environment, is it not?
Was create the Biden car rallies, because that's where they were all lined up at the gas pumps. Those are Biden car rallies.
Oh, those all have Biden stickers. I never thought
of Biden
that.
I saw a picture of a guy yesterday. This is how beautiful it is. They had a picture of this guy pulled up at the gas pump, and he had 2 bumper stickers on his car. It said, no pipelines and Bernie Sanders. Meanwhile, he was filling up his plastic bag.
Oh, my God. So he's
saying these people are.
And they're the ones that are going after that are hoarding gas if they can do it?
That's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
And they're the ones causing the problem.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The media, even down here, the local media was disgusting through this whole thing. They never had to say nothing where we are because we had no problems with gasoline. The media created the problem we had here. Mm-hmm. And they should be held accountable for that.
Well, I tell you, I think you make a good point. How's Ron DeSantis doing these days up there? I guess his dad's up in Tallahassee with him?
He's back now.
Okay.
He's back now. I thought he'd come by the shop yesterday.
And I tell you, Ron Sr. is one of the nicest people you will ever meet. One of the most unassuming people, too. Go ahead.
No, but Ron is doing great. Let me tell you, he's getting more time on television, I think, than Trump was getting.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know why? Paul, he's common sense. Everything he has done is common sense, and he does not fear Washington. He knows they're a bunch of bimbos.
Yeah. I think he knows what he's about. I think the guy, I don't know, maybe it's the way he educated himself. He's got a wonderful background, scholastic background. But I think he just knows where he's going. You know, as opposed to Biden, who can barely find his way around, even to get to the lectern. You know, he just doesn't seem like Biden's got any game plan. I think DeSantis knows what he's about.
But, Paul, you know what else, too? Ron DeSantis wasn't, you know, Richie Rich kid. He came up in a family that was an average income American family. He wasn't the poor little rich boy, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He was not spoiled rotten as a kid.
No, he's got that what's the word, that people appeal or populist appeal.
Well, he's different than we are. He doesn't portray himself. You know, look at John Kerry. He thinks he's all everything, and Ron does not portray that way. Ron is with the people.
Yes. I didn't mean populist. I meant more like a blue collar kind of a guy, and I'm saying that
exactly.
in a positive way.
To everybody.
Yeah.
He relates to people.
Yeah. And yeah, well, it's, you know what? That comes down from the parents.
That's exactly.
You know? He comes from good stock.
Yeah, there's no question on it. Ron and Karen are great, great people.
Yeah. We say this because Andrew knows them personally. Andrew knows them personally.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job raising them.
Yeah. And Andrew knows them personally.
They had a daughter, too, that was a phenomenal girl, but she passed away. I believe she was 33 years old. She had a brain aneurysm.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But both of them were fantastic children, well-educated, and they worked for everything, and nothing was handed to them.
Ron is just exactly what Florida needed. You know, sometimes a guy comes along at the right time, you know?
Hey, what do you hear about this one? Mr. Charlie Crist, you can't get anybody to give him any money to run for governor.
Well, we're berserk with the sadness about Charlie because we certainly want to see him do well. I'm sure that Charlie has a real game plan. There's another guy. He just wants to get into the position. I don't think he's got any idea what he would do. He just wants the job. Right?
Well, tell him there's a lot of help wanted signs out there. I drive by them all the time. Burger King.
Yeah.
Sure. Publix. But let me tell you something. According to what I've been reading, there is not any Democrat that wants to run for governor right now that Ron doesn't have double digits over.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Charlie Crist would even win the primary. He's got name recognition, but there's a lot of Democrats that don't trust him. I mean, the guy's been all over the map.
You know, you got flip-flop Charlie running. Nikki Refried Bean wants to run. I'm not sure, but I heard David Jolly might try and jump in for Charlie Crist.
There you go.
Job. You know, he's a snake in the grass, too. He's a real piece of work.
Oh, boy. Jolly? Yeah. He's been out for a while, hasn't he?
He needs to stay out.
Uh-huh.
He needs to stay out, Paul. But you know what? Right now, this country is in limbo. It doesn't know whether to go up or down. Well, it's going down, like you said, with the stock market.
I'm worried about the stock market. I'm worried about inflation.
I'm not worried about it. You know why? I don't have a penny in the
And I know you don't. You keep it under the mattress, you told me. Oh, no. You dig holes in the backyard, don't you, and put them in there?
You got to get a metal detector to find it. I got maps drawn for when I die.
I actually know what you do, because you have a boat, and you went... You took all your money, you put it in a treasure chest, and late at night, you dropped it into the Gulf. You know exactly where it is. Nobody else does.
You got it. And it's guarded. It's guarded by great white sharks.
By great whites. There you go. Andrew, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend, and I am looking forward to talking with you again on Monday.
You got it, Paul. And if anybody's out there to tell us one good thing that Biden has done, please let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. We do want to write it down.
You got it, buddy.
All
right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks very much. There he goes. The barber pole. Andrew Ceraci. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, Jen Psaki says teaching about systemic racism in the classroom is the responsible thing to do. We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back for the final segment. And we got a lot to talk about in this segment. First of all, I want to make sure that you know that you can listen to us anytime on podcast. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast on our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Listen in any of the shows you'd like. All right. So, Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, says that denied that the teaching of systemic racism in college amounted to liberal indoctrination. She says, quote, it's actually responsible, unquote. All right. She said, let's see here. She was asked about what specific policies pointed to indoctrination. Let's see. She says she was chastising, or somebody was chastising somebody else that talked about the 1619 Project. That has to do with the year that slavery was brought to the United States, and critical race theory and that kind of thing. She says, I don't think we believe that educating the youth, next leaders of the future, leaders of the country, on systemic racism is indoctrination, that it is actually responsible. I know when I was a child, we talked about race, slavery. I mean, we knew about slavery. We knew what was wrong. We knew that those generations of Americans that had slaves were not doing good things. Now, many of them treated those people very well, but that doesn't mean that it was still slavery. It was wrong, and we all knew it. But there is this guilt that somehow these generations, you know, people like us who have nothing to do with it, should be somehow held responsible and made to feel guilty and need to apologize. And that is ridiculous. And it keeps ripping the scab off of a sore that you don't want to do. We all know, I mean, those of us with any kind of common sense, that we are all equal under the eyes of God. God doesn't make any particular race less than somebody else. So I think most all of us know that. So beating the drum for this kind of thing, I think, is crazy. All right, before we do our top 10, I got to get to Ed because the Lightning are playing Sunday, Ed, and they're playing the Florida Panthers. And I want you to tell me, do you think we still don't know if two of their best players will be available. Do you think they're going to win the series against
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, and why is that?
I think you can't go by the last two losses because the Lightning didn't have any of their good players out there. They were withholding. It's given them a chance to get healthy. We'll get some players
Nikita
back.
Nikita Kucherov, yeah, is he going to play?
They both have been on the ice.
They have.
They have. And like I said, behind closed doors, nobody knows how much they're ready, but they've been on the ice.
And Steven Stamkos is the other guy.
Yes, yes.
Well, they are the two, maybe the two best players on the team when they're healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you think they have a good chance of winning the Stanley Cup?
That's going to be tough because they haven't played any of the West teams. They haven't.
So we don't know, do we?
Yeah, we don't know how good Vegas is until we play them.
So. Okay, that's a good answer. All right, sir. Do you like barbecue, Ed?
Sure.
Okay, Here we go. These are the top 10 best cities in the United States for barbecue. You may want to get on a plane and fly there. These are based on analyzing all barbecue restaurants, all of them, in the 75 largest cities, mm-hmm. as long as they have at least 10 barbecue places inside the city limits. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the ground rule. So here we go. Number 10. It's actually a tie. It's a tie. Miami? Did you know there's good barbecue in Miami?
I thought that'd be Cuban food.
No, they're good at barbecue. And Newark, New Jersey.
All right.
Talk about two completely different places. Newark. So they're actually tied for ninth because, so number 8, St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis. Now, I would believe St. Louis.
Yes.
I would believe so. That does not surprise me. Newark, well, maybe so. You know, there's a good barbecue and African Americans. There's great barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 7. This one did kind of surprise me. Seattle. Would you have a barbecue with your latte?
I would think so. Well, Seattle's got so many different.
Yeah.
Different people out there.
You know,
I can see it. I can see it happening.
I think you're right about that. Number 6. Would you believe Columbus, Ohio?
No.
I wonder why Columbus, Ohio's got good barbecue. Isn't that interesting? I think it is. Okay, now we have a tie.
Okay.
So these next three are tied for what we amount is third. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Makes
buy
sense.
Into that.
Yeah. Now that could be Eastern North Carolina barbecue. There's a difference.
There is?
Oh, a total difference, because the Eastern North Carolina barbecue is more vinegar-based.
Now, how do you know?
I watch and listen to shows.
I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. Right.
Totally different.
That's very interesting. That's really interesting. Okay, another one. Roll the drum. Number 3. Virginia Beach, Virginia is good barbecue.
Okay.
Yeah. Roll the drum again. Number 3. This one kind of surprised me. Well, not really. Wichita, Kansas.
Because you're getting close to the place that I think is going to be.
Okay.
Getting close.
All right. Number 2. Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Has good barbecue.
Sure.
Well, it's kind of in the Southwest,
yeah,
I guess.
Mid-Southwest, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ed. Who do you think?
I'm going to go with Kansas City. Kansas.
I think that's a great selection, but it's a wrong selection.
Really?
Yeah. Would you believe New Orleans?
Wow.
New Orleans.
I'm amazed Kansas City's not in there.
New Orleans, Louisiana. I would have thought, I wonder if they throw in Cajun. Now, think about it.
Well, it could be.
I think they could.
All variances of, you know.
That's a spicy, seasoned kind of stuff, you know?
I remember asking one of the old Buccaneer offensive linemen. They were getting ready to go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. And I asked him a question in the locker room. I said, what do you know about Kansas City? Thinking he'd say, well, you know, they're a good football team. His response was, well, I know they got a lot of barbecue, and the ribs and the brisket are really good out there.
Well, you know, man's first love sometimes is his stomach, so yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know anything about their football team? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh, you see. All right. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Please stay tuned for Courtesy Kia, hosted by Brother Jim, which will come on right after the news. Always remember, freedom works.
You got me looking at that heaven in your eyes. I was chasing your direction. I was telling you.